David, I bet you when you were growing up that your dad thought that you were a character.
Amen.
I have a suspicion that when Jeremy was growing up that his mom and dad thought that he was a character too. I think that all of us growing up at one time or another had been considered a character. Angelo, here's a question this morning. Are you a character or do you have character? We can use the same word. It can mean two different things. Right, Leah? Okay? Some people say bad in a sense of being worse, or some people say bad as in something that's actually good. And the issue is when we say, well, you're just a character, we take that as a what? As a negative thing. We take that as someone who gets in trouble, someone who doesn't listen to the teacher, someone who throws paper airplanes in a classroom. But a person who has character acts beyond themselves. And if you're a person of character, you won't be a character. That makes sense? Because we'll do the right thing. So we have a choice. We have a choice. We have a choice to be mean to people or to act up with people, or we have a choice to get along and be kind to people. We have a choice to want everything about ourselves, or we have a choice to share with one another. See, we have a physical character, we have a human character, and then we have a spiritual character too. And just like we have a choice in school to either act right or act wrong, or cut up or be good, we have a choice in our spiritual life to either let God control us or we'll control ourselves. But the Bible says this. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, besides this, giving all, 2 Peter 1, 5, it says, beyond this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is character. It's when you act. And character is how you react when you have a situation. Do you act like Jesus act? Or do you act for yourself? That's the issue. So this morning, we need to all ask ourselves, are we a character or do we have character? And to virtue, knowledge. This morning, I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day was set aside to honor mothers. You know, it's fitting that we honor mothers on this day. We should honor mothers every day of the year. But motherhood was crowned with God's approval as we get ready for this message. And you can turn to Proverbs chapter 31. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, God has created the heaven and the earth. He's created Adam. He's created Eve. And then he gave them this commandment. He says that he blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. You can't multiply without a mom. Okay? You can't be fruitful without a mom. And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. So motherhood is crowned with God's approval. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 20, after Adam and Eve had sinned, Adam made this naming, and he named his wife Eve, and because she was the what? Mother of all living. See, God made moms so we could be here. We would not be here today if we didn't have a mom. Okay? Some of us think that we're, or moms think that we're characters, but we need to have character. Jesus chose to be born of a woman. And that's significant. We know in the gospel accounts that Christ had to be born of a virgin to fulfill Scripture. But in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says this, "But when the fullness of time was come..." Last Sunday night we preached on divine fullness. And God's got a timetable, and He's got a plan. And everything that God said He's going to do, He's going to fulfill. He said, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You know, we need to thank God for Mary, because she was the chosen one. And we need to thank God for our moms, because we wouldn't be here if she wasn't here. And tonight we'll even have another message on mothers and grandmothers. But what I want to talk about today is a very familiar passage. I know there's actually a line of things, the Proverb 31 woman. But we don't need to commercialize this. We need to spiritualize this. And so the title of my sermon this morning is A Priceless Woman. And we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. It starts out with a question. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Who can find a woman of character versus that a woman who is a character? Because her price, she is priceless. Now, most of you husbands probably think, and I will tell you that my wife acts as a character sometimes, but she has godly character. And it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" See, Proverbs 31 is actually a Proverbs written for men. We need to understand some things. And so it's written to the king. And what this is, it, what this proverb is, and what this last piece is advice is offered for a king in choosing a wife. The first thing is choose a woman of virtue. Now, you know, it's interesting that this is in the Bible. Because when we're making life decisions, we ought to consult God's Word. When we're going to make something that's going to affect us for the rest of our life, we need to consult God. We need to get godly advice. And here is advice that the king's mom is giving to the king. Choose a woman of virtue. Choose a woman who will be a priceless wife and mother. Now, there are some interesting things about this, these verses here. The first one is that this is actually a poem. Verses 10 through 31 are actually a poem. The Jews, the Hebrews, call this Eshet Chalil. And the interpretation of this, it is a woman of valor. It goes beyond virtue and goes to valor. If you go through the Old Testament, when it talks about the people who were around David, or when God was going to choose someone like Gideon, what does it say? It says, "You, oh, behold, you mighty man of what? Valor." Folks, you can be strong and you can have valor only when you have virtue. You can be strong and have valor when you are priceless in God's sight. And so this is actually a song that the Jews sing. Eshet Chalil, woman of valor. There are two major passages in the Bible where there are mnemonics or an acrostic used. Psalm 119 is divided up into sections based on the Hebrew alphabet. This passage is actually an acrostic that, starting with verse 10 and ending with verse 31, each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, why would we make all these things up? It's so we can remember. You know, Mother's Day is a day that we're supposed to remember our mothers, and we have Father's Day. Unfortunately, we don't have children's days because we remember you all the time. But the issue is that we're supposed to remember this. So when this was written out, it was written out in such a way that we should remember. You know, we need to remember God's word. We need to remember God's word. And we definitely need to remember, when there's helps like this, what the message is of this. So this question is asked: who can find a virtuous woman? You won't find them in places where people act up. You won't find them in places that are ungodly. Okay? There's character on the human level, but there's character on God's level. And we're looking for someone who is godly. Folks, when you're looking for a mate, look for someone who's godly. Don't look for the worldly way. Look for God's way. Supposed to be a helpmeet, a completer, someone that will live their life together. So there's four things here in this passage. The first thing we see is that the advice given to the king is find a virtuous woman because she will be a faithful woman. In verses 11 through 19, we see this. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She ariseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff." You know, in today's issues that we're having right now with what's going on in the world, moms are taking a special place. You know, they could be breadwinners, but they are also makers of home. And now they're teachers at home. And hours are now long, and we need to thank our moms that are helping through this time of crisis. But here, the advice is find a faithful woman, and there's several reasons why we need to find a faithful woman. She will be faithful to her husband. Doesn't mean that she'll be totally submissive to him, but the issue is she's not going to do him any damage. And folks, we don't need to do damage to other people. We don't need to do damage inside the family. There's a lot of things in the New Testament talks about. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Honor your father and mother. Honor your wife. Make sure as a husband you honor her like the church, like Christ does the church. So she's faithful to her husband. It said the heart of her husband doth what? Safely trust in her. There is no doubt. There is no concern here. Because you and I know that if there's concern in a relationship or there's suspicion in a relationship, it will destroy it. And so this is a woman who is above suspicion. There is not what she says, she means. There's no ulterior motive here. He knows then that he could trust her. Now, in the Bible, even things written for mothers and women also apply to us as Christians. Folks, we need to be faithful people. We need to be faithful to our spouse. We need to be faithful to our God. All the way through the Old Testament, God, Jehovah, talks to Israel as if Israel is his wife. And basically, it gets into an issue of trust and following and faithfulness. So he knows that he can trust her in verse 11. Her life goal is to bring him good. It says this, it says, there and no evil and not evil all the days of her life. Just not now, just not when you're feeling about it, but all the days of your life. And then she says, she will do him good and not evil, okay? She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The third thing is, she is faithful to her daily duties. Folks, when you start something, you need to have confidence that it's finished. And a faithful wife and a faithful husband is they will finish what they start. And they will look for opportunities to do more. In verses 13 and 14, we basically says she's dependable. Okay? She seeketh wool. Okay? And flax. And worketh what? Willingly with her hands. So as she's dependable in seeking things. She's dependable in as a merchant ship. Now, I'll tell you what, some trucks coming in today, you would think that there's stuff on them, and when they're unloaded, there's still things empty in the grocery store. But this is not her. This is not her. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She's a hard worker. Okay? She's a hard worker. And it goes on here. It says, she bringeth her food from afar. It doesn't matter what. She'll go to great lengths to minister to the family. Folks, we as a church, we should go to great lengths to minister for one another. Husbands, you should go to great lengths. Fathers, you should go to great lengths. Children, you should go at great lengths to help one another out. So she's faithful in her dirty duties because she's dependable. She's a hard worker. She manages her time to her family's advantage. Now, I know some of you are not morning people. Okay? But the woman here in Proverbs is a morning person. It says she rises also while it is not, while it's yet night, i.e. before the sunrise, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. There's nothing talking in here about what she does for herself. But she puts others first. She rises early and cares for her home and family. Okay? She takes, Matthew Henry in his commentary says this, she takes pains in her duties and takes pleasure in them. You know, when we have a large task, we often, it'll be a long task. And when you do that, it takes perseverance, it takes patience, it takes long suffering, it takes the ability to just kind of keep on going. But when that task is done, there's a sense of satisfaction because you know you did what you were supposed to do. You know that you did exactly what was needed and you met someone's needs. You know, doesn't it feel great when we meet someone's needs? It feels even better when we're appreciated for that. And my point this morning is our moms do this all the time. And do we appreciate her? Have we told her that we love her? Have we thanked her for all the times that she stayed up? I remember growing up when babies, you know, what happens in the middle of the night? The baby's crying. They go take care of the kid. Let me sleep. Okay? A mom does that willingly. A mom does that willingly. She takes pains in her duties and takes pleasure in them. So she's faithful to her husband. She's faithful in her daily duties. She manages her time to her family's advantage because she's a faithful woman. Secondly, she's a caring woman. In verses 20 through 25, The proverb goes on and says this: she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, and for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she cares to those in need beyond her family. Oh, today we need this even more. You know, it's easy to take care of someone you know. It's easy to take care of someone as part of your family. But this woman goes beyond the family and takes care of the poor and those in need. There are moms today that are out working, taking care of those that are at risk. There are those today taking care of people in a hospital and working long hours and basically having to forego some time with their family so they can do a higher calling. Folks, this is what Christianity is all about. It's not just about me. It's not just about my family. It's about helping others. What would have happened if Christ had not been born of Mary? What would have happened if he had not come down to earth and been our Savior? Where would we be today if Christ did not go beyond himself? So she cares to those who are in need beyond. She prepares for any future difficulty facing her family. She has a stock in her pantry. She sees the evil coming. She sees the problems coming. And she's going to make an effort to do everything that she can in her ability and even beyond her ability to make sure her family is protected. You know, when I was preparing this message, the thought came to mind. You know, in the lion's pride, it's the lioness that takes care of the cubs. It's the lioness that fights off the intruders. It's the lioness that goes out and does the hunting. A man just kind of lays around all day, okay? But that seems to be the case. And she does this until the next litter is born. And that can take up to 3 years. And that is her sole thing. When a lion cub is born, the lioness says, "That's my responsibility. I was designed to take care of this. I was gifted by God to take care of this cub. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability." That's what a mother does. You were designed by God to do this. You were given children, the blessing of God to do this. And I thank you for staying true to your task, what you were designed. You know, we as Christians are created in Christ Jesus to do good works for Him. And we have an example here of a godly mother or a godly wife that would do that. So she cares to those in need beyond her family. She prepares for any future difficulty facing her family. It says here, it says, she's not afraid of the snow. And you know something? When you're prepared for things, you're not afraid. When you're prepared for eternity, you're not afraid. And so she's prepared for times. She cares about her husband's reputation. Her husband is known in the gates. Now, as far as this is concerned, you have to go back to the old time. And the gates are the place of public intercourse, okay? A public reaction where judgment was given, where basically the elders or the city council would meet and they would decide this. And because of a godly wife, the husband is also known. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul is writing some instructions to a wife that doesn't have an unbelieving husband. And he says this, he says, the children are sanctified by you. The family is sanctified by you. Folks, what we do, if you have an unbelieving spouse, I pray for you. I pray that he or she will get saved. It says, but her husband is known in the gates. See, what we have to have as Christians, we have to have the mindset of Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, it says, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's not about us. It's about others. It says, look, not everything on it, every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what we need is we need the ability to look beyond ourselves. And a virtuous woman, a priceless wife, a priceless mother, will look beyond herself. She'll look beyond herself to her family. She'll look beyond her family to others around her. She'll look beyond herself and her reputation and basically keep her husband's reputation in esteem. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She cares about her husband's reputation. And then she has a reputation based on character. In verses 24 and 25, it says here, she says, she maketh what? Fine linen. She maketh fine linen and sell and get and deliver girdles unto the merchant. You know, people don't buy junk. People don't buy spiritual junk either. People buy what we sell based on our ability to present it as being without defect. And her linen and her girdles are without defect. Her hands make nothing of bad value. Oh, there's a spiritual lesson in their church. Is that our hands, we're bought with a price. And our hands better go out and make things with no defect that will honor God, that people will see and want and buy. I appreciate all those people who are out there making face masks. That's a wonderful thing. And every one that we bought from other people has been great. And so the issue is she has her hands make no defect. Her reputation is outward, not inward. It says strength and honor. And this is where they get, she's a woman of valor now. It says strength and honor are her clothing. It comes from inside and not from outside. You can dress yourself up and look the part. And you can be a character. You can be a character in a play. But the character that comes from within is one that will show out. And people will recognize that and say, I want some of that. I want some of that. Her reputation is not outward, but it's from inward. Strength and honor are her clothing. And not only that, her future is joy. Verse 25 says, it says, and she shall, not might, not may, not maybe, she shall rejoice in time to come. She will be blessed. Her family is blessed. God is blessed. And we've been studying what happens when we're faithful to the end. We'll get a reward. And her future is joy. Her hands make no defect. Christian! Our hands should make no defective merchandise. It should be godly, and we should be clean. Christian, our reputation is not how we look on the outside, but how we look to God on the inside. Christian, our future is joy. Christ Himself, who for the joy that was set before Him, despised the shame and endured the cross. Oh, folks, we need to look to the future. The godly woman, the godly wife, the priceless woman, mother here, looks to the future. She prepares for it. Are we prepared for the future? So she has a reputation that's based on character. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may," what? "Exalt you in due time." This woman is God. You want to be the king? You want a wife? This is what you're looking for. We have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. We are His wife. We should have these attributes as a church. We should have these attributes as individual Christians. We should have these attributes in our family. Because we are the wife of the King. She's a wise woman. In verses 26 through 27, it says, "She opened her mouth with wisdom." Boy, don't we need some of that today. Okay? It says, "She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness." There's a lot of good stuff here. The first one is, she opened her mouth with wisdom. When you speak, is our speech always seasoned with grace? We talked about this last two Wednesday nights ago. We're supposed to walk wisely and talk wisely. Psalm 110, verse 111, verse 10 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." I guarantee you that the mother of the king was saying, "Son, when you go out and you look for a wife, you look for someone who's godly. You look for someone who's following God's commandments. You look for someone who'll do you good. You do look someone who's about others and not herself." And the same thing can be said of looking for a husband and being a wife and being a mom and being a father and being a husband. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, the Bible says this: "The fear of the Lord is the" what? "The instruction of wisdom." Here, in verse 27, it says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household." Not talking about the provision for it, but the direction that her household is going. Folks, we need to look at the direction that our households are going. Moms, it's your responsibility. Dads, it's your responsibility. Kids, it's your responsibility not to be a character, but to have character. She looketh well to the ways of her household. And she eateth not the bread of idleness. She doesn't waste her time. She does things that are constructive. She's a woman who trusts God and instructs her family to do so. Oh, this morning, ladies. Oh, this morning, mom. Are you instructing your kids in the way of the Lord? Dads, are you instructing your kids in the way of the Lord? She opened her mouth with wisdom. She's someone who trusts God and instructs her family to do so. This wise woman has a mouth filled with kindness. In James chapter 3, verses 17, we study this. "But the wisdom that is from above is first" what? "Pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and" what? "Good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Folks, what this world needs today is wisdom. What our families need today is wisdom. What our churches need today is wisdom. We need God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, Humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Here it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, she has wisdom. She is a wise woman. Are we wise people today? She does not waste an opportunity. In verse 27, it says, and eateth not the bread of idleness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, see then that ye walk what? Circumspectly. You can have all the wisdom in your brain, but if you don't have your eyes looking for things and how you apply that wisdom, it's worthless. Here's a woman that looks beyond herself to her family. Here's a woman that looks beyond herself to those around her. Here's a woman that looks beyond herself to her husband and what she could do to honor God. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? As wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you know what the will of the Lord is? I can tell you, dads, it's to raise your family. I can tell you, moms, it's to raise your family. It's to be a godly example. I can tell you, church, it's to be different than the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, we talk about this in the context of the church, but it also has an application to the family. It says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them in the household of faith. See, Paul told Timothy, he says, if a man doesn't take care of his household, he's worse than an infidel. Mm-hmm. If a mom doesn't take care of her household, she's worse than an infidel. You know, there's people that will sacrifice their families for career. There's people that will sacrifice their families for wealth. There's people sacrificing their families right now because they're not telling about God. And folks, we need to do that. The most important task we have as parents is to tell our kids about Christ. Most important task we have is to do the things that we were designed to do and do all to the glory of God. She's a wise woman. And then she's a rewarded woman. In verses 28 through 31, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he doth praise her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. See, there's several things that happen here. Kids, when's the last time you thanked your mom? She was blessed by her children. Husbands, when's the last time that you praised your wife? That's what we're supposed to do. This godly woman, this godly mom, says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You want to succeed in life? Put God first. She has great spiritual success. That was what God promised Joshua before they went into the promised land. He says, this book of the law won't depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Job learned it. This woman learned it. Deborah learned it. She has great spiritual success because it's based on a relationship with the Lord. It says, but the woman that what? Feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And lastly, she will not be empty-handed. When we pass from this life to the next, will we be empty-handed standing before the Lord? It says, give her the fruit of her hands, and her own works praise her in the gates. God knows. And other people will know too. So remember, before this message started, I said this is the Eshtet Shalil. Shalil? Okay? The Woman of Valor poem. In the traditional Jewish home, these 22 verses, remember, they start with the letters of the alphabet, so you can remember. These 22 verses are sung to the mom. They're sung to the wife before they eat their first Sabbath meal on Friday night. Well, that's for the Jews. Folks, there's a principle here. We need to praise our moms. We need to praise our wives. We need to honor them. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, honoring your mom one day a year is insufficient. We should honor our moms every day. All the day long. Because of what they do for us. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. How well do we remember our moms? How well do we remember who we are? Are we characters or are we people of character? Are we just moms from a biological sense? Are we moms in a godly sense? Are we parents in a godly sense? Are we kids in a godly sense? Oh, if you don't have a relationship with God, you need one this morning. You can't do these things unless you know Him as your Savior. And I hope that this morning that you'll realize that Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried for the penalty of your sins. And He rose again the third day, sinless. Showing that He has power to forgive sins and power to give you eternal life. If you've never asked Christ into your heart today, just send a simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that You died on the cross for me. Forgive me my sins, and from this point forward, I want to make You Lord of my life and my Savior. And I'll follow You. That's all it takes. It's a simple thing, a simple act that will change the direction of your life. See, the king was getting advice on how to find a wife. Because it was going to change the direction of his life. Are you letting God change the direction of your life this morning? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Me with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts and help us, Lord, to do what You want us to do. And Father, help us, Lord, to be right with You today. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.